You might like to open your Bible to the book of Hebrews and chapter 5. And in our study of the book of Hebrews, you want to think of, if you would, God's awesome person, and in the light of that, our human person, and the distance and difference between is awesome, to say the least. So, having said that and keeping that in mind, then here's your physical body all functioning, and apart from a problem, you don't know your body's functioning, but it is. And every system in it is wonderfully doing what it does in a way that is beyond our capability of understanding, in the sense of even ever conceiving of the system and systems and how they work. So here's our body and here's us. So how do we relate to God? How does God relate to us? So the average human on the face of the earth is doing what they do politically, religiously, and otherwise. So, God, how do you manage this? So the book of Hebrews is to help us understand how does a holy God deal with humans? How can humans enjoy and exercise a most holy God? So, book of Hebrews. Therefore, as we did, go to chapter 2. And you'll go, if I can, to verse 17. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, put to the test, put on trial, put to the proof, he being tempted, he is able to succor, to come to the aid of them that are tempted. Verse 17, you have a great high priest who is able to relate to our humanness in a most wonderful way. Chapter 3, and in verse 1. Wherefore, brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, and high priest. The high priest is able, so we need to consider him. We need to consider the one that understands us humans, understands God, understands us humans. So we slide along. He's a great high priest. He's God, chapter 1. And he's the creator over angels and everything. He's the creator. And he's the high priest, the God, and he's the priest that's able to come to our aid and rescue us. I need to know that. Okay. Chapter 4, and you recall verse 14. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, a confession of faith. We have a great high priest, he's at the right hand of God. Verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, put to the test, like as we are, yet without sin. So the high priest. Verse 16, the high priest relates to us each time. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We did that last time, etc. Now, a wonderful, wonderful high priest. So when we come to chapter 5, what you would ask yourself is, if you were a Jew, especially a Jew, what you would ask yourself is, how we read all the time. He relates to us, he knows all about us, etc. Well, and if I'm a Jew, or even other cults and religions, here's the priesthood. Priests have to go and we confess to the, not us, but we confess to the priest and we do all these things, that's what we do. Priest. Well, he's the priest, high priest. Why is he the high priest? Chapter 5 gives you his qualification. So you have no question. Is he the high priest? Each time we tell that. And he knows all about us. Chapter 5 is going to say, let's make it clear so that you understand. You know priest, Aaronic priesthood, Old Testament priest. You know all that. Let's put it together. So God said, so you're going to understand. He is the one, underlined. Now, having said that, chapter 5, verse 1, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, reason that he might offer gifts and sacrifices for sin. High priest is to represent humans before God. Okay. Now, in order to appreciate and pick up the movement, if you were back then, and you had the Old Testament, you knew the Old Testament, which is Hebrews is the Old Testament is brought out. Hebrews brings out the Old Testament in an awesome way. How does it bring it out? The Old Testament points to the wonderful person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, I'm going to look back in the Old Testament. I want to see how the priesthood goes. Therefore, over to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus and chapter 19. And may I pick up the thought? If I can, we're going to go and we're going to see. I'm interested in the priesthood. How does it go? Exodus 19. Picking up, please, in verse 4. This is about Israel. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, God, to Exodus, taking them out of Egypt after 400 years. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. That's Israel, Exodus, out of Moses and all 2.5 million people. Out they come. Verse 5, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar, prized, privileged, personal treasure, a peculiar treasure unto me. How so? How much? Above all people, for all the earth is mine. You would be the prized people, the prized nation above all. That's awesome. God does that. Now, verse 6. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. What was this nation of all these people? What were they to be? Priest. That nation, Israel, priest, was to represent all nations, to show the nations of the world that they could be saved. Christ died on the cross for them. And they would understand that, and Israel would have such a relationship to God directly, they would be able to know and honor God in a most wonderful way. They would be the priest, this big nation. Now, did they want to be the priest? Do you want to come before God? Do you want to have to bear the ills and aches and sins and complicated world of humans and their sinful world? Do you really want to do that? You want to have to bring every bad thing in to God on their behalf?
No.
So therefore, Israel, what did they do? Well, Israel came along, as you know, and since they didn't want to exercise being priests, Exodus 19:8, I should say, you know that, and all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do, and Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. So, and their problem was they weren't going to receive the promise made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Thank you. You say thank you for a promise. Thank you for the tissue. Thank you. That's what you do. You don't debate it. You don't merit it. You didn't earn it. Thank you. They didn't want to do that. They said, we'll earn this. We'll merit this. You tell us what you want, and we're quite able to do whatever you want. That's got the problem? And it never goes away. And we turn the pages of history, Old Testament. And you guys never quit. And we will do it. That's right. We will do it. We will do it, you say. You can't do that. Now, having said that, you need that little bit. So therefore, God, what do you do? They reject the priesthood. They don't want to be priests. They don't want to come before God. So therefore, over to Exodus 28. And in Exodus chapter 28, picking up, if I may, God, what did you do? You took his Moses and here's his brother Aaron. Now, what are you going to do with Aaron? Aaron, Miriam, his sister. Now, I had an eye doctor, a surgeon, and his name was Aaron. That was my father's name. But interestingly enough, he was a Jew and a dear fellow, and his wife's name, you'll never guess, Miriam. Aaron and Miriam. I said, how about that? And we talked in the hallway. He said, yeah, how about that? Aaron and Miriam. Wow. Now, so here's Exodus 28, verse 1. God, what are you going to do with Aaron? I will take... And take thou upon thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel. Why? Purpose. That he may minister unto me in the priest office, even Aaron and Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's son. I want you to take Aaron to be the priest. That's where the Aaronic priesthood comes. Israel rejected God chose Aaron and the sons of Aaron to be the priest, to represent Israel. Israel gave it up. They didn't want it. So Aaron and his sons, and that becomes the Aaronic priesthood. And so the entire tribe of Levi, the entire tribe of Levi is to serve as assistants. And Aaron and his sons are the priest. And Aaron, the top one, is the high priest. He's the high priest. He is. So that all his Levites all take care of the cleaning and the holy place and can go in and do everything. And then the priest have that function to come before God on behalf of the people. And the high priest, without turning there, Leviticus 16, the high priest, the top one, Aaron, in this case, can go into the Holy of Holies in the Day of Atonement once a year and go through the curtain to the ark, to the mercy seat, and sprinkle the blood. And he can do that once a year. Can't do it 10 times, only once. Only once in the Day of Atonement. Christ is only going to die once. He's not going to die 10 times. And you're to remind yourself every year, once a year, you go in into the place that all the other priests can't go. They can't go. Only the high priest can go. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and that, of course, is a problem when you have that kind of thing. Because, hang on now, us humans think we can get to God as we wish, want, choose, as we want to make God this big, this big, this big, this big. How big do you want to make God? What kind of God do you have? G-O-D. And then you could fit him in a little package and wrap him up and put him in your pocket. You got it. We got it. Our God. We want our God, whatever he's going to be, and our priesthood, us humans, to be able to get to God. We want our religious system to be able to get to God. Understand? Us humans. That's what we do. And we have our priesthood. But, you can't do that. Now, is that problem, that human, the way we do things with God and our relationship to God, is that true for Israel? Yes. Did it change? That's why Aaron, they lost the privilege of being priest in that sense, and Aaron became the priest. Now, having said that, that's a problem. Us Israelites, we're going to be back then, think of them, Israelites, we have Korah is a Levite, and you remember, and if you did, without going there, the Numbers chapter 16, Korah said and got a whole 200 other Levites and 250 key people, lined them all up, and went to Moses and said, Moses, who do you think you are? You aren't the only one that gets to God. You aren't the only one that can climb the mountain. Well, we're somebody. We're all the people to write. Oh, I'm just a human. You're just a human, right? That's what we say. Well, he's just human. I say, you're just human. That's right. We're humans. I got it. That's what they did. And they rebelled. And you can read that number 16. It's wonderful. Awesome. They said, who do you think you are, Moses? Now, hang on to that part, because Hebrews 5 tells us about how this, us, what I'm trying to fumble out here, is get you a movement, because God's going to address this 1, 2, 3, 4, so you know the high priest. And therefore, so here we are, and we're going to go, and the sons of Korah and all of those things, they rebel, etc. They had no right. Moses, but what did God, and you know how they're all judged, that's one of those places. God's so wonderful what he does when he does things. And everyone had to leave. Remember, all these rebels were in there. And there's this big camp in the tent meeting. And in the process, Moses instructs all the people, get away from their tents. Don't go, if the Korah's here, make sure you guys are all away from this. And here's another guy. Get away from him. They're in the other way. And God, what are you going to do? They did. And then what did you do, God? I opened up the ground and swallowed them alive. The whole family and their tent and everything in their tent. Down. And I covered them up. How is that? Is that sobering? I think that's sobering. God took care of that. And Moses, it's Moses, God, Aaron. Who made Aaron a priest, by the way? God did. Who told Moses to go up to the mountain? God did. You can't just do that. So now, and then there's Isaiah. In 2 Chronicles, same thing. You may want to do that one. You can't do all of them, but just enough to get the flavor. 2 Chronicles and chapter 26. And Isaiah, he's a king, and you will notice, I'll read just for a little bit of context, verse 15, 26, 15, 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, 26, 15. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men, had great skill, to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones with oak. Do you ever wonder how they did all the, when you see films and stuff, they try to mimic the wars and stuff. And man, did they have weaponry and stuff. We have them now. You'll see it in the news sometime in Ukraine, firing the things. And they got these lined up like this. And it goes boom, 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 boom. Out it goes. They fly. And they had arrows that just did that. Arrows, one arrow after another. Wow. Now, I know you'd be interested in that because it's so... And shoot arrows and great stones withal, and his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. And he got very, 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 very strong. But when, verse 16, he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord, his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Now, he's not a priest, he's the king. And he was so puffed up about his everything that he was able to do and be. Wow. And so he intruded into the what Aaron and the priest were to do. He took it over and he did it himself. And of course, you know what happened. And God judged him. And God judged him. Verse 21, and Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death. And God punished him with leprosy. He was so strong. Leprosy, if you get real leprosy, you know, decay, you get leprosy bad, you don't run around a lot. You got a leprosy. It's not just a little bit, but a lot of it. And he died. He died. Because he intruded. You can't do that. He said, I'm the king. God has helped me to do it. You can't still do it. You can't do it. God has to be the one to do it. God has to be the one to choose. And by the way, you know when you read Isaiah chapter, do it. Why not keep you awake? Over to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah and chapter 6, since we did Isaiah. And you will notice Isaiah 6, 1. Remember the king. King dies. Isaiah was there at the same time in 2 Chronicles. Isaiah 6, 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. It looked like the king, the good king that would help us, died. But he was wrong, but he died. But, so Isaiah had to take his eyes off the king and look to God. And God is better than the king. The king's just over this little people of Israel. God is over it all. Chapter 6, verse 1. He is the Lord of all the earth, etc. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, the priesthood. And the priesthood is that you got the priesthood. And God has to choose. You can't intrude into the priesthood. You can't just say, I'm going to go do it. If you can't do it, I'll do it. It would be like moving the ark. Remember the ark from the Philistines with the mercy seat? You can't just go and move the ark. You know, the ark had to be just so. And then, and remember, it was going to fall on the dear fellow. I probably would have done the same thing and be dead. The ark that was on the wagon, and the wagon tipped, looked like the ark was going to fall. And so he reached out to push the ark from falling. And he died. Because he can't touch the ark. It's God's. The priest could, etc. Levite, you can't touch the ark. God's doing my point, a point, the point, is what? God does what he does. You intrude into what God does in the name of God when you don't belong in there, it won't work. It won't come out good. It doesn't come out good. The high priest has to be of God, of the house of Aaron. Aaron is put aside. Christ comes along. Therefore, over if I can. Back to Hebrews. Hebrews in chapter 5. And you will know, please, Hebrews chapter 5, if I can, in verse 1. Every high priest, going to give you a reason now, why you're going to come boldly to the throne of grace, verse 16. You're going to come boldly because he's a legitimate God-appointed high priest. He's in the right place, put there by the right person for the right reasons. It's going to work. It's just going to plain work. 4, every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer gifts and sacrifices for sin. In other words, the high priest is taken from among men. The explanation, and since he's taken, he's ordained, he's designated, he's appointed. It isn't self-appointment. There's no self-appointment. He's God. And that's the same in ministry and everything. God does it. When God doesn't do it, we got a system. We got a great system without God. But sorry, who cares, right? No one cares. Now, no one knows the difference. Now, so therefore, every high priest taken from among men in the process to offer gifts and sacrifices to God, to be able to go and intercede, to pay the price, to pay the sin. And they remember, we got to go back for a second, Day of Atonement, Leviticus 16, or the other day, every day they sacrificed, and every day, morning and evening, for the sins of the people. How could a holy God live among such a 2.5 million plus people? How could a holy God live among them? Because every day the priest was sacrificing the altar to remind God and remind the people, not that God needed reminded, to remind the people that Christ died and they're in his presence, in his grace, for his mercy, they're in his presence. And they're doing all kinds of stuff. You should get a bot. There's the sacrifice. The sacrifice, God, and the priest is putting it there to protect the people, as it were, from God judging them, and to be able to enjoy the benefits that God was giving them. Therefore, the high priest, they offered to God, and he did it. That's what they did, sacrifices. On the Day of Atonement, the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world, our Lord Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, was signified on that one day, the Day of Atonement. So all the time, they're protected. They're protected. Why are we protected? Why is the world protected? Because Christ died. He died, the Lamb of God, for how many sins? The sins of how many? All. How come, God, you just don't, because, boy, we deserve it. No. Everything has to be worked out. How do we get time to work it out? Christ died on the cross and is being gracious and has covered them. He said, whosoever will could get saved. It was a wonderful thing. Now, so therefore the priest, that was their job. Their job was to go and represent the people that needed a Savior, to represent people that needed God's saving grace. Now, having said that, and all the things pertaining to God, so the priests were able to do all of this, and they were to have compassion. Verse 2, who can have compassion on the ignorant? On the ignorant, hang on to that, so it'll help you with that. The word compassion has to do with moderating, to be moderate, to be gentle, moderate, tolerant. In other words, don't be as angry as you should be. You want to be. You're really angry? Tone it down. Compassion, to treat with moderation. You have a great one's anger, treat one's anger with great moderation. Well, with a pardon, P-A-R-D-O-N, pardon. To treat one, not full anger. Back off, not full anger. Anger, but not full. Moderate, moderate, moderate. Now, that's the word compassion there. Verse 2, who can have compassion on the ignorant? The ignorant. Now you know, and we'll just do it. Remember we did Leviticus, all Leviticus somewhere in history. Steve, I bet you know what we did in Leviticus. You know everything. Anyway, Leviticus chapter 4. Now, Leviticus chapter 4, picking up, please, in verse 1. Remember, each of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, each chapter has to do with a sacrifice. Christ's death on the cross covers our sin, peace offering, all the different things. In other words, when Christ died on the cross, how much did he cover? What did he do? Here's the Leviticus to help you understand. What did Christ do? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He did in that hour, it was those hours on the cross. Chapter 4, verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a soul shall sin through, what? Ignorance. In other words, people say, I don't know, I didn't know that. Hang on. Then you're excused, right? You didn't know it. You're excused. Wrong. Hang on. Verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a soul sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them, the priest should offer sin offering and all of these. Now, that's ignorance. God covers ignorance. And to get it a little more different picture, over to Numbers and chapter 15. Numbers and chapter 15. And may I pick up a thought in verse 22, Numbers 15, 22. And if you have erred, and not observed all these commandments, which the Lord has spoken unto Moses. In other words, I didn't even know it, what it said. Verse 23, even all the Lord has commanded you by the hand of Moses from the day that the Lord commanded Moses and henceforth among your generations. Then, verse 24, it shall be, if aught be committed by ignorance without the knowledge of the congregation. In other words, something is done and we don't know it. Without the knowledge of that all the congregation shall offer one young bullock for the burnt offering, for a sweet savor unto the Lord, and meat offering, and his drink offerings according to the manner of one kid goat, kid of the goats, for a sin offering, etc. And it's going to keep doing that now. And in the process, the end of verse 25, for their ignorance. Verse 26, it shall be forgiven all the congregation of the children of Israel and the stranger that is sojourn among them, seeing all the people were in what? Ignorance. Christ had to die for all sin, whether you understood it or not. Let me help you another way. We're all born little ones, most of us. We're born little ones. When you were 2 years old, what did you understand about sin? Did Christ die for you? At that point, you're covered. You're covered. 2 years old, you're covered. Christ died for you. They're ignorant. True. It doesn't make any difference. Whether you know it or not. Silly illustration. The young people especially know all the buttons on these little units you carry around. They button, they swish and swash and do everything. And they do it. And so Jeanette got something on the phone. I don't know how to work her phone. Anyway, it ding-a-lings, okay? It ding-a-lings, and I'm looking for the buttons. No buttons. This picture, and I push everything. It ding-a-lings and disappears. Okay. But a little kid comes along, ding-a-ling, he got it. Okay. We push buttons. I did it ignorantly. Either way, I didn't get the call. I didn't answer the phone. In ignorance. But I didn't answer the phone. I didn't do it. I'll give you another one. Here they are over in the nuclear plant and that. All those things. And none of them are that stupid to do anything because they'd all die. See, no one's going to do that. Now, so in the process, here's the buttons. Here's the buttons. Important buttons. And the buttons are there. And different colored buttons, and the buttons are there. And someone says something, you need to push the right button for that. And I'm looking at it, are these buttons? And I push the button and blow up the plant. Okay? Now, I didn't know that button. It didn't say blow up the plant. It just was this color red. I just hit the button. And I did it in ignorance. How's my condition, though? I just pushed the red button. I'm gone. The sin of ignorance is no excuse. People say, well, I never read the Bible. I never heard the Bible. No excuse. There is no excuse. There is none. Why do you know that? Why do you know that? Romans chapter 1, verse 18, 19, 20, 21. God has put his wonderful person, knowledge of his person, in every human heart born in India, Asia, China, Venezuela. Doesn't make any difference. God, there's no one born on planet Earth that God doesn't communicate, Romans 1, to who he is. And the next thing that happens is the human that knows the totem pole, and you don't worship kangaroos, and there's no sense in worshiping the stars, and you all know that. That's common sense. But the adult world does. So the wonderment of God, my sense of God, my awesome sense of God, I don't want to lose that. And I didn't want to lose that as a boy, as a little boy. I never lost it, fortunately. I could have. I didn't. I was very sensitive to God. It's all right. So I don't want to lose that. But if I didn't have it, God had to die on the cross for all of us. And the sin of ignorance is covered because God is there to help them. And if they stay ignorant, in the sense, I knew God, I don't want to know him anymore. You pick it up in the morning message slightly quickly, you will, hopefully. And in the process, as we go, I know the flowers and birds and bugs and bees, and I know, and I'm making a decision. I'm making a decision to follow the adult world politically and religiously, or I'm not. And if I follow the adult world politically and religiously, I'm going to be like them. Or I'm going to know God, and I don't want to know. I don't want to know. No. Well, I remember the church in the snowstorm. Silly illustration, but maybe it'll help you. As a little boy, and I lived in one here, and the College Ave Methodist Church was over there, down the road and across town a little bit. And in the snowstorm, and the snow was up, I don't know how old I was, wasn't very old, and a little boy, and I walked, and no one goes to church when it snows like that, especially. So, but I always went to church. So I trotted through the snow, no cars were running or anything, and I just plowed through the snow, walked up the steps, and the door of the church was open, and I went in, and no one, of course, was there. And no one was there, and the minister was there, Reverend Archer J. Strait, I think, his name. And in the process, he came out, and we sat and talked, and I asked him about different things in the church, because there's no one there, to explain what that symbol was and what that was, and he told me. He said, well, yeah, no one comes to church that cares about those things, you see. Well, whether you care or don't care, God died on the cross for the people that care, the people that don't care, the people that know, the people that don't know. Christ died for them. But if I get absorbed and pick up the mood of the world, then I leave God out. I never get to God. I never get to God because no one else gets to God. So that's the problem. That's the problem. We have a high priest which can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And God, no end, back over to Hebrews if I can. I got sidetracked. Forgive me for that. Hope you got a little bit, though. Because you don't have to be 110 years old to know God. You can be 10 minutes, 10 days. Not 10 days, but a little bit, and you can know, just know. So what are you going to do with it? Exodus, Hebrews chapter 5 again. And in verse 2, who can have compassion on the ignorant? That's what we're looking at, ignorant. That God died for them, and the ignorant have to know they have to be, Christ died, and they need to be saved. They say, I don't know that. You still need to be saved. But I never heard the Bible. But you had opportunity. You may never have opened a Bible. You may never have read the Bible. And the people around you may never have read the Bible. But you knew God, and you chose as you grew to leave him out and pick up the system that you lived in. Mohammedism, Islam, whatever you're in. We pick it up. Now, so therefore, are ignorant, and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself is also is compassed with infirmities, with weakness. For, and verse, with weakness. So here's the priest, the wonderful high priest, and he's able to go and relate to humans in a wonderful way. And in the process of erring, going wrong, God goes and does a wonderful thing for us. So he has compassion on us, and therefore, even though we're tricked, deceived, and don't understand, whatever, our God is able to save any heart that does what? Believe. He didn't ask you, put it together. Does God ask you, when you go, here's someone down the street and whatever, or across the ocean, wherever it is, and you put save that, and the person's there. And you got a track in your pocket or something. And you're talking to them, and you're doing that. You don't tell them now, listen, how long have you, did you ever kick your mother? Did you ever do anything bad? And then you have all the things. And then you're looking for see if the person's good enough to get saved. Do you do that? No. You can tell them straightway from heaven, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You don't ask about anything. I didn't ever understood it, so you didn't understand it. God still saves if you believe. God's only asking your ignorant soul, believe. That's all he's asking, to believe him, period. He didn't ask you to figure it out. He didn't ask you for excuses. He didn't ask whether you were a genius you were, or whatever you were. Just believe, and you get saved. That's period. So there is no, you can't use the argument, well, they don't know, they never heard. How can they know? Baloney. That's all right. Now, so therefore in verse 3, and by reason thereof, he ought as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. So Aaron, when he goes, he has to bring his own sin offering, his own sacrifice, and then he has to go and sacrifice for the people, for the congregation. And he has to do it because Aaron is a sinner. Aaron needs to be saved the same as the congregation does. The high priest has to cover for himself, and then he has to cover for whom he represents. Therefore, for offer sins. Verse 4. First of all, and no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God as one Aaron. So an Aaron, we just did all of those things. Could other people go in and do what Aaron did as the high priest? No, only the high priest, not just any priest, the high priest could go in and on the Day of Atonement. It's the way it is. And Aaron understood that, the people understood that in verse 3. Verse 4, I should say, but he that is called of God. God has to give the calling, the permission, the authority to be able to be a high priest. You can't just be a high priest. And a high priest has to understand that they're coming with their own sin, plus the sins of all the people behind them in the congregation, etc. Therefore, we need to look to God to do his most wonderful, wonderful thing that God does. And therefore, God's going to go and remember now. I'll go over to First Kings, just to show you in a major way for Israel. First Kings. And you remember Rehoboam, the temple, the kingdom was divided after Solomon's death between the Rehoboam, the king, son, and Jeroboam. Now, Jeroboam, you know the whole account, chapter 12. What do we know about Jeroboam? Jeroboam said, if they all go to worship in Jerusalem, how can Jeroboam be a king and all the people have to go to Rehoboam, to the temple to worship? But that's divided. So Jeroboam said, I'm not going to have much power. So therefore, Jeroboam went, and God allowed it, that 10 tribes in the north. God allowed it, and I'll read verse 27. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. In other words, I'm going to lose my kingdom, my 10 tribes. Whereupon the king took counsel and made 2 calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Jerusalem, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he put one down in the north, Dan, and Bethel in the south. He did all of those things, and he went up, picking up verse 31, and he made an house of high places, and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. He just made priests. That's what religion does. Makes some, whatever, power, position. That's what they did. So they did it. So priests, they're going to go and the house. You can't. God has to do it. God didn't do it. And Jeroboam and the 10 tribes all went by way of the Assyrian captivity out of business. All gone. All gone. That's it. It wasn't of God. One that's interesting, you might like it, Psalm 84. I think of it, you do too, I'm sure. Psalm 84, picking up please, in verse 10. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wickedness. I'd rather be a doorkeeper, and then elsewhere I'll be a doormat. Better that than to be where they are. Better just to be a doormat, a doorkeeper in the house of God. It's humble. I that. You probably think that too. I had nothing, God, just wow. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, over to 1 Kings, we've got to close. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And would you please remember, directly in the light of the body of Christ, here we are in the body. Wonderful, wonderfully, wonderfully in the body, in the person of Christ. Like all the parts in you, all the parts in your body are in you. True? You got them all. Livers and spleens and kidneys and pancreases and everything. Got them all. All together, and they work wonderfully. We'll hang on to that. Now, how did God set your body, everything in your body, in the body of Christ, in your relationship to Christ as his body, head, body? Verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in his body, in the body, as it has pleased him. You come to know the Lord as your Savior, and just to be in the body. My thought, if it's any good to you, just to be my little toenail. How's that? But I'm in the body. I'm in the body. Better to be a little toenail in the body than unsaved. God puts us where he wants us. And God must make us. You can't be what you are. God doesn't want to make you. People do it. They do it in ministry and everything. Did God make it? If God doesn't make it, it ain't going to work. God has to do it. That's wonderful. But just to be in the body, just to have that. Wow. I got to quit. I hope you got a little bit. Anyway, thank you.